We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, John from Huntsville just squared us away. It's the park he was talking about is George C. Marshall Park, named after General George C. Marshall. I went to the George C. Marshall Conference. I wish I had realized. Anyway, yeah. Thank you, John.
Good to know.
Good to know. JoJo from Coleman, she says, it's exactly what I said the other day. We need to stand up and push back. Enough is enough. There you go. Let's talk about some when things are not enough. So right now, I'm going with number one, the triple dipper here, the equivocation nation. Here's the thing. A lack of leadership experience is evident every single day in the Biden administration. I've said it before on the show multiple times, but what we're looking at is a classic example of what happens when someone who has never led anything ever in the history of ever in his whole life is suddenly thrust into the position of being in charge of everything. And that's where we are. He's never been in charge of everything. Now he's in charge of everything. And Joe Biden doesn't have any clue what to do. Now, I'd be honest with you, I don't think Joe Biden has much of a clue about life in general right now. I'm very concerned about his mental capacity. I'm hesitant to say that kind of thing in general, but you can just watch his behavior and go, wow. Wow. I don't know if y'all saw the situation with the G7 leaders standing out in the field watching the parachutists the other day, but it was pretty awful. It was to the point of being embarrassing. It just looked like he was lost and had to be guided around. He was doddering. He was a doddering old man. And it's sad. And his family should have allowed him to retire with dignity already. But for some reason, the family needs him to stay in charge. They need him in power. And they have all acquiesced to the idea of daddy being the president, despite the fact that he can barely function. Anyway, that being said, what we're looking at is an entire administration that is largely built up of people who've never been in charge of anything. I mean, you got, Secretary of Department of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. I mean, at least he's been a mayor of a small town. There's that. I will say this, SecDef, he's obviously been a four-star general. There's that. Beyond that, I can't think of anybody who's really had any great leadership experience. Can you? I can't. Secretary Granholm, Energy? No. You got Department of Health and Human Services, the transgender dude? No. You got the vice president? No. You got the Department of Education? No. Secretary Mayorkas? No.
But DEI.
DEI is very important. DEI gets you all the best candidates. DEI. No. Now, let me give you some examples. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. Here's what happens when you don't have any leadership experience. Then you don't know what to do. You don't make firm, clear decisions based upon rationale or plans. You don't know how to consult your people and put together a cogent opportunity to address the issues of the day. You wind up straddling every fence. Because Biden right now is scared to death of being unequivocal. He is scared. He's operating. The Biden administration is operating from a position of fear on almost everything. And there's the old adage that a failure to plan is a plan to fail, right? So when you're watching things like Ukraine, when you're watching our southern border, when you're watching things like, relationships on the international stage, when you're watching Haiti, when you're watching the aid pier in Gaza, all you're seeing here is a constant determination to try and straddle the fence. We support Israel, but we're going to supply everything they need to eat in Gaza. We support not putting our troops in Haiti, but we're going to send our troops to build a base for the Kenyans in Haiti. We definitely don't want to see, Russia get too mad, but we're going to give weapons to Ukraine. And this week, we're going to tell them they can shoot Russia with them. Oh, what was the point? I mean, I thought that was the point all along. You just now gave them permission? What the heck? And then our southern border. Story here on Red State. I know you probably heard it. But the Department of Homeland Security, just its own inspector general, the IG for our own DHS, just released a report, story on Red State, Dateline yesterday. They have released a report on their own ability to safeguard the border and to vet people who come across it, and they are not reporting on themselves well. At least they're being honest. The new report says that concerning a new report from the DHS Inspector General, it concludes that DHS has not been effectively screening non-citizens and asylum seekers and cannot access all federal data necessary to complete thorough vetting and screening, meaning they don't have everything they need and they're really not accomplishing the job. Here's the actual quote. DHS, quote, will remain at risk of admitting dangerous persons into the country or enabling asylum seekers who may pose significant threats to public safety and national security to continue to reside in the United States until these challenges are addressed. And then the IG, the DHS IG, gives criteria that need to be met. Okay, maybe that would explain the next story. Because when you say, I'm going to fix the border is secure, but you don't do anything to secure the border because you're afraid of angering your base, you wind up with stuff like a DHS and IG's report that says you're really not doing your job. And then you get a story like this one from Fox News 2 days ago. Terror fears mount after arrests of border crossers linked to ISIS. I'm not sure if you heard the story. We just had 8 suspected terrorists, all of whom have ties to ISIS, all of whom come from Tajikistan, all of whom came across the U.S. southern border illegally, all of whom were tracked down by ICE and the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force after being flagged, or actually not flagged, as they came across the border illegally by Customs and Border Protection and the Department of Homeland Security. So basically, DHS did nothing at the border. 8 Tajiks known to have ties to ISIS came across. They were tracked down finally in New York, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. It's believed that they were actually potentially plotting. So here we are. We've actually got a Democrat councilman, God bless him, in New York City, who says, this is frightening. We are headed for another 9/11. That's a Democrat. And he says, I predicted it. We need to have a secure border. You think? Meanwhile, you've got Biden equivocating, and he's doing so at our risk by not securing the border, by trying to appease his base, pretending he's doing one thing but really doing another. He's straddling the fence and leaving us in a position where even DHS admits we're not doing a good job. And 8 more examples just walked across the line. How about this? Ukraine. Oh, geez, some of y'all, your red flags went up. Listen, I'll say it again. I do not want Russia to win. I don't. Russia does not need to win. I will also say this again. It'd be nice for once if the Biden administration had an actual plan. How amazing would that be? Do you know we spent $51 billion over there right now sending aid and weapons to Ukraine, and yet we have zero ability to say what the plan is? In fact, where's the quote? I'll skip straight forward. I'm in a story on ABC. ABC, I thought they liked the president. Well, it was a quote, says, the Biden administration's hesitant, incremental approach to supporting Ukraine, seen in the pattern of refusing to send advanced equipment like Patriot air defense systems, Abrams tanks, and F-16 fighters before then actually relenting and doing so, is a symptom of its failure to conceive and express a clear strategic vision for the support of Ukraine. And then goes on by saying, it's all kind of wishy-washy. It leaves all kinds of caveats. It's very difficult to develop good strategy and good policy when you have no clearly defined end state. That's an ABC article, bro.
In all defense, when was the last time we really had a good, clearly defined end state when it came to warfare and all of those things?
Well, I think the last time we spent $51 billion on somebody, we had at least some measure of a plan.
Oh, yeah.
But what we're looking at right now is literally an open checkbook with the plan is, we're with you for the long haul. What does that mean? So what it does is it leaves Ukraine in a position where they're not sure what they can do. Oh, wait, we got to have permission to win. Because the story goes on in this, I had not heard this till recently, that we were giving them weapons but telling them how they could use them. Who does that? So first of all, yes, I'm frustrated with the situation in Ukraine. I'm ready to see the checkbook kind of closed and get the plan together. And if we're going to help at all, let there be an end state clearly defined. I agree with that. But in the meantime, we've been giving them stuff and then telling them they can't use it. We literally have given them weapons and told them they're not allowed to strike Russia with it. So apparently, another $225 million aid package was just sent over. And last week, according to ABC News, the story came out on the 8th, so this is about 2 weeks old. Biden gave limited permission for Ukrainian forces to fire back at Russians attacking the city of Kharkiv just across the border with United States weapons. But the administration has been emphatic that we'll oppose strikes on key military targets elsewhere on Russian territory. So let me get this straight. We gave them the weapons, but we told them, don't use them. Just...
That seems logical, right? Okay. I mean, come on.
Maybe in the Navy, but not in the Army.
Quit asking so many questions, Phil.
Oh, all right. But what that does, though, it also leaves us in a pretty dicey situation. So if you have not heard, there's some Cold War posturing going on right off our southern coast. Now, listen. We do freedom, what do we call them? Freedom of navigation?
Freedom of navigation.
We do freedom of navigation all the time. We sail between the Taiwan Strait. We go places that we basically show up and say, you can't make us not go here. And Russia thus far is sailing in international waters. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
All right. And this happens all the time. I think the difference is this happens on the heels of the most recent aid package, the escalation of the threat to NATO, Ukraine becoming a member of NATO, and the fact that we are seeing the Russians' posture. It's less the fact that they're there and more the way that they're there right now and the timing of it that I think speaks volumes to what's happening. The very fact that we've got an article here that calls it Cold War posturing. Last I checked, the Cold War was supposedly over.
Yeah.
Apparently it reignited.
It's an interesting thing. It's definitely, you know, we've given a lot more room for folks to kind of feel like they can do whatever they want to do.
When you're sitting on the fence all the time, afraid to go left or right, people just gotta go ahead and take advantage of it. Funny how that works.
Yeah. There's no question that we don't carry a very big stick these days.
No. Do we carry a stick? Take me to a break. We're taking to a break. We're gonna come right back. I'm gonna tell you. You may want to be aware, as we equivocate with Biden foreign policy, that we're actually maybe putting ourselves in a position of putting troops in Haiti. To what? Other And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Like making common sense like a superpower. I'm in this first dipper here, Equivocation Nation. So when the Biden administration equivocates on the world stage, or for that matter with our national security, they do so at our risk, right? They do so at our peril. When you decline to actually make a definitive plan, and when you put out notional red lines you don't intend to enforce, and when you try to appease your base and keep them happy while at the same time keeping other people safe and or participating with an ally in a major operation, all you do is equivocate to the point that no one can trust what you're going to do at all. You create instability by trying to please everybody. The idea of appeasement does not always match up with the idea of victory, all right? And you know, what's so... Listen... On a lower level, it's not that low, though. On a lower level, take a look at what's happening just right in the waters off our coast in Kenya. In Haiti. As Kenya has now been, convinced to take a role in helping secure Haiti, which is virtually a fallen state now. The government in Haiti is doing the best it can to try and keep things together. The police are overwhelmed. The gangs rule the streets. Airlines are shutting off their flights to and from because they get shot at when they're sitting on the runway. So they've convinced right now a multinational security support mission to be led by Kenya. This is a first. So, hey, more power to you, Kenya. Article here on the Miami Herald came out May 17th, right out 30 days ago. The skeletal construction of a base of operations for the new international force is taking shape. Under the searing Haitian sun, men in hard hats and reflective vests are digging trenches, operating cranes, and moving built. What they're building is basically a FOB, a forward operating base, at the international airport in Haiti's Port-au-Prince capital. Who's building it? Wait a minute. I thought we weren't going to put people there. Oh, no, no. It's going to be a 2,500-member security force led by Kenya. Okay, awesome. Except the story goes on. To help Haiti prepare to receive the mission, the Pentagon has flown Air Force C-17 planes into Port-au-Prince at least 37 times in the last couple of months. 37 C-17s, including a flight on Wednesday this is a month old now. No telling how many of those have landed. That particular plane, they said, offloaded large generators, black and white all-terrain vehicles, a pallet of oxygen generators. The equipment was among more than 900 tons of cargo that, quote, U.S. servicemen have delivered. So we're putting boots on the ground at the very least to deliver aid to a place that we said we weren't going to be involved in. Why? Because we may not be putting all the boots on the ground, but we're paying for the whole thing and we're building it. But I thought we weren't going to get involved. We were going to let other people handle this. Yeah. Right. Well, when you've got an equivocal leader, guess what happens? But then I look at the situation in Gaza. Oh, my word. The pier that was built in Gaza, the humanitarian pier, it's called a JLOTS, a Joint Logistics Over the Shore Causeway System. Very cool. I mean, it's kind of cool. Hadn't worked out very well. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent putting this pier off the coast of Gaza. It's been mortared. Most recently, the World Food Program declined to do any more offloading operations because they said that after the rescue of the four hostages last week by the Israeli Special Forces, that disinformation in the community said that the pier had been used as part of the operation and now it was a threatened area, I guess. The Pentagon acknowledged there was some Israeli military activity nearby. Okay. Meanwhile, the weather went bad. And for the second time in a matter of weeks, the article here on CNN says that, quote, the fragile pier and causeway system is being dismantled again and moved away. We spent $400 million there putting a pier in place that has not been able to accomplish its mission, nor has it been able to withstand just the elements of the area itself, and, oh, by the way, is becoming a flashpoint for Hamas. Lastly, I'll just point out that what this means is Biden is equivocating again. He's got a massive base right now that hates Israel. The libs on the far left progressive side, they've decided to lock onto Israel as the center of all their angst. And the protests are epic throughout the streets right now in the United States. And so Biden is scared to death of upsetting them. So he's trying to help Gaza. I'll help Gaza. I'll spend hundreds of millions of dollars and I'll put service members over there and we'll get mortar and we'll lose all everything we got and we won't be able to sustain the operation, but we'll show that we're doing something. Meanwhile, I'm going to send arms to Israel and provide intelligence to rescue the hostages. That's called equivocation. How about you pick a side? How about you tell the world where you stand? How about you stop equivocating? Well, that was a quick dipper. I feel like I ran the gamut. But that's the thing, man. The equivocation nation, under a Biden administration led by people who have never led a thing in their entire lives, we're sitting here waffling and fence straddling, and it puts us in harm's way. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back. Kristallnacht in America? I hope not. We'll be right back.